From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is a beautiful Thursday in the neighborhood. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Folks, we've got a great show in store for you today. How about that game last night, the final MSU men's basketball game, home game, I should say, of the year, senior night against Purdue? I tell you what, the odds were certainly stacked against the Spartans, but they responded in a big way, folks. We'll have all of the post-game coverage from that game last night. You'll get to hear from players like Travis Trice, who actually tied a career high, also Bryn Forbes, Tom Izzo, and so much more. You don't want to miss that chat. Also, we'll be talking about a certain MSU football player, yes, back in trouble, folks, for the second time now throughout his MSU football tenure. I'll also invite Chris Haller, who is an outstanding Current Sports beat reporter. He has a pretty cool article profiling Trevor Manuel, basketball star for Lansing Everett, and he's also a contributor to MLive.com. Chris will join me on the show. We'll have Throwback Thursday for you, take your calls, and have all of that and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this March 5th. All right, ladies and gents, let's start on the hardwood. Last night, the MSU men's basketball team said goodbye to the Breslin Center, at least for this year, with a bang, beating the Purdue Boilermakers 72-66, the final of that one. Seniors Brandon Dawson, Travis Trice, and Keenan Wetzel were honored after the game, and for, of course, being seniors and exiting their last game at the Breslin by kissing the Spartan head on the court. Travis Trice was a man amongst boys last night, folks. He tied a career high, 27 points, had also 6 assists. Lou Ross, Tum Nairn Jr., and Denzel Valentine, and a numerous amount of other players were banged up throughout this game, but still continued to play, with the exception of Brandon Dawson, who went out pretty early in that game and didn't see the hardwood throughout the rest of it. Dawson, again, he was injured and set out for the remainder of the game. He actually got a forearm right to the face. I guess you can say count is to Isaac Haas. So, yeah, we'll give you an update as the week proceeds on that. I'm sure MSU will be releasing a report later on. I want to, of course, give you guys a quick update right here. The MSU women's basketball team, they are right now, as we speak, playing in the Big Ten tournament out in Illinois. They're taking on rival Michigan, so we'll give you a score update as the hour proceeds on that one. But tip-off just happened about 30 minutes ago, 12:30 to be exact. All right, Michigan State wide receiver McGarrett Kings Jr. was arrested in East Lansing over the weekend. Kings has been charged with drunken and disorderly conduct and obstructing, resisting, hindering, or assaulting a police officer. Now, the junior was suspended for most of spring football last year, if you remember, an April 6th arrest for operating while intoxicated and driving under the influence. Now, head coach Mark D'Antonio said the team will manage the incident internally. We, of course, reached out for comment, and a generic statement from Tom Izzo was emailed to all of the media members in the area. All right, folks, well, high school girls district hoop action continued last night. Quick update on a few scores here. Waverly topped Grand Ledge. DeWitt topped Lansing Eastern. Lansing Catholic got a big win over Fowlerville. So Lansing Catholic will actually be playing Hazlitt on Friday. It should be a big game. But again, folks, you want to stay tuned because we'll be talking with Chris Haller, who is a contributor to MLive.com, also a Current Sports beat reporter right here. He'll join me to talk about the high school hoop scene as now the postseason is in full effect. All right, the Detroit Pistons, their losing streak hit 4 games after the team lost to the New Orleans, Orleans Pelicans, 88-85 last night. The Pistons didn't have an answer for All-Star Anthony Davis, who scored 39 points, grabbed 13 rebounds, and blocked 8 shots. Jody Meeks led the Pistons with 20 points, while Reggie Jackson scored 14 points to go along with 11 assists. Now, the team is back in action Friday when they travel to Houston to play the powerhouse, that is the Rockets. James Harden and the Rockets. All right. Well, the Detroit Red Wings, they came out on top in overtime, 2-1 to be exact, in what was a predictably competitive affair. Now, Marek Zdilicki acquired from New Jersey the newest Red Wing before, of course, the trade deadline. He lit the lamp at 109 into the extra frame to seal the victory, providing the Wings with their third straight win. Now, the Blue Shirts, meanwhile, fell to 7-1-2 in their last 10 games. How about this? Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, they have reached terms on a new contract through the 2015 season. Now, the five-time NFL MVP will earn $15 million in base salary after Manning agreed to take it. This a $4 million pay cut. That's called sacrifice, folks. Now, the lower base salary will allow the Broncos to be active on the free agent market. And last but certainly not least, I tell you what, Russell Westbrook is taking the NBA by storm. He joined rare territory on Wednesday night. He recorded his fourth straight triple-double, recording 49 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists in a Thunder victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. It was Westbrook's sixth triple-double of the year and 14th of his career. The All-Star Game MVP became the first player since the great Michael Jordan in 1989 to have four consecutive triple-doubles. My goodness, that kid is good. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in right now and give your thoughts on any of those and so much more, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, hey, let's start the show. All right, folks, well, I was down at the Breslin Center last night, of course, for senior night, Michigan State taking on Purdue, the final home game of the year for the Spartans. How about that? I can't believe that. I mean, time certainly flies when you're having fun. It's certainly been an up and down. Anytime I'm watching hoops, I think it's a fun time, okay? Many of you Spartan fans out there may not agree because it's been a topsy-turvy, roller coaster type of a year for the Spartans. But I tell you what, last night was certainly not that. They got a big win over a team that is going to make a lot of noise when the Big Ten tournament comes, and also in the NCAA tournament, I believe, because they have a very solid squad. And to see the Spartans stack up against Purdue, man, oh, man, you got to give a lot of credit to the Spartans. Because if you would have told me that Brandon Dawson would go out and not play the majority of that game and the Spartans would still beat Purdue, of all teams, I would have said, you are crazy. That's not happening. But that's exactly what happened. Here's actually my rep report, which is actually right now posted on WKAR.org. Here's my rep report from last night's senior night.
I think it's going to be something that's going to hit me after the season when it's all said and done. But I feel like this is the best way to go out. I mean, a big win against a great team, and it was a hard-fought win down to the end. So
it sure isn't easy to say goodbye. And that's exactly what MSU seniors Brandon Dawson, Travis Trice, and Keenan Wetzel had to do as they played their final home game right here at the Breslin Center. And the Purdue Boilermakers, no, they didn't play the role of party pooper as Michigan State was able to corral its 20th victory of the year. Yes, the tourney hopes are now becoming strong, but this team does agree that the work is far from over.
You know, I think we've played a tough schedule. I think we've been fairly consistent, but we got some work to do now. You know, I mean, we're not done yet, and I'm gonna, you know, someday I'm gonna be done years from now, and then I'll elaborate on all the great things that have happened to me.
I think we needed this, you know, to get back where we were. I feel like earlier, you know, just to get that grit back, kind of. You know, we needed a tough game like this. That was just a fight. Instead of just an easy win or against a team that's not going to fight the same way.
Yeah, it was a war out there from start to finish. We feel like they got the better end of us in the first half, and we feel like we answered the bell in the second. But that was definitely the most physical game I've played since I've been here.
I'm telling you, man, it's not easy to win games in this league. And this team isn't really as gifted as some we've had. You know, I feel pretty proud of what they've done under those circumstances.
As the season now winds down, the Spartans are doing everything in their power to make sure that their resume can stack up well against anyone in the Big Ten and the nation, for that matter. And you better believe when you look at that resume, under experience, the Spartans can stack up against anyone. as Tom Izzo is now shooting for his 18th NCAA tourney appearance. Yeah, so again, folks, our phone lines are open. Again, that was my report at the Breslin Center last night at senior night, of course, the final home games of the careers of Travis Trice, Brandon Dawson, and, of course, Keenan Wetzel, walk-on Keenan Wetzel. A big win. First off, I want to start by saying that big win for this Spartan team because, you know, it's interesting because I was actually reading an article this morning from the Lansing State Journal, which talked about how there has been really no Michigan State men's basketball team that has had at least 20 wins and not made the NCAA tournament, at least, of course, when talking about the Tom Izzo era. So now Michigan State getting the big 2-0 now. I think you can pretty much say that this team is certainly going to make the NCAA tourney. And now, you know, Michigan State, I mean, and this it's one of the best, most jaw-dropping stats and streaks in the nation when you really look at what this Spartan squad has been able to do the past 18 years. Folks, they have, you know, now, you know, since I think they are going to make the NCAA tourney, this would be the 18th straight NCAA tourney bid for Tom Izzo squad. I mean, that's an unbelievable streak. Talk about 18 straight. I mean, some teams can't even make back-to-back trips to the NCAA tourney. And here at Michigan State, you have a squad about to do it now for the 18th time. That is certainly unbelievable. But look at last night's game. You know, again, I talked about before we ran the report, Brandon Dawson. You know, he goes down in that game, and I kind of gave a huge rant about, you know, how ideally Brandon Dawson is, you know, he's the straw that stirs the drink. He's the engine that runs the car. Without Brandon Dawson, this team doesn't go, folks. And Brandon Dawson went down in that game, and I'm sitting there, you know, because I was actually down on the court the entire time shooting footage of the game for WKR TV, and I'm sitting there looking at talking to Audrey Dahlgren of Channel 6. And we're sitting there saying, there's really no way. I mean, Brandon Dawson, now, if he doesn't come back, the Spartans are in big trouble. Somebody's got to step up. And you know what? You have to give a lot of credit, a ton of credit, to two players, that being Matt Costello and, of course, Kobe Wollerman. Those two players, without those two players stepping up and playing the defense that they did on A.J. Hammonds, and Isaac Haas, 2 7-footers for Purdue, Michigan State would have lost that game, point blank, period. And really, Costello, I mean, I haven't seen Matt Costello play that well dating back to like the beginning of the year when he had a pretty solid stretch to start the season. Costello manned up and got in A.J. Hammond's face and frustrated him throughout much of that game, folks. I mean, it was unbelievable. And when you look at it, Costello, you know, guarding A.J. Hammonds and Isaac Hayes. Looking at the numbers of A.J. Hammonds, he limited A.J. Hammonds, 7-footer who's been great really all year for Purdue, their juggernaut, to just 7 points, 3 of 12 for shooting. I mean, that's called stepping up when your team needs it most, because in that situation, of course, it would have primarily been Brandon Dawson on A.J. Hammonds trying to slow him down. Or Gavin Schilling, and to see Costello come in, and really the play that sort of ignited everything and sort of shifted the momentum in that game was Costello rebounding that free throw in the second half and going up for that reverse dunk. I mean, my goodness, you talk about electrifying. When Costello threw down that dunk, everyone in the Breslin Center sort of just lost their minds. And you know, added with the fact, because, you know, when I walked in that court, you know, on that court right before tip-off and looked around, I mean, there was hard to find. You would be hard-pressed to find an empty seat in the Breslin Center on that night. I mean, it was unbelievable. Just the atmosphere. I mean, it was packed all the way up into the roof, to the top of the roof of the Breslin Center. It was unbelievable. And, you know, that coupled with the fact that, it's senior night, the last home game of the year, so people are naturally going to come out. I tell you what, man, you got to give a lot of credit to the Breslin Center crowd because they were the sixth man. When this team seemed to be reeling in that first half, the crowd stuck with them and sort of willed them into another emotional level. And, you know, there's some people that say, okay, the players play the game, the crowd is a totally separate entity. I totally disagree because home court advantage is certainly real, especially when you talk about the Izzone and the crowd at the Breslin. It's been a hallmark here in mid-Michigan, in East Lansing for quite some time now, and it was in full effect last night. And then Costello, he was not only efficient defensively guarding A.J. Hammonds, and Isaac Hayes. Costello finished with 13 points, 7 rebounds, along with, of course, 4 blocks. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, there were some times where, you know, Costello would grab the rebound. Again, I talked about that offensive rebound off the missed free throw going up for the reverse slam. But sometimes, you know, Costello would get the ball off a missed three-pointer and put it back off the glass. I mean, and you know, even we saw from time to time him knock down that 15-foot jumper. I mean, if Costello can bring that type of energy and that type of efficiency game to game to game, Michigan State becomes that more dangerous. And it was an eye game. Will Costello do that? If I had to put my money on it, I wouldn't. Because I haven't seen Costello do that dating back to the beginning of this season. But, man, players stepped up when they needed to because, again, and that was one of the most physical college basketball games I have ever witnessed in person. You just heard from Travis Trice. Trice talked about how it was, bar none, the most physical game that he played throughout his entire Michigan State basketball career. And it's funny because Joe Rex wrote after when we were talking to Travis, he was like, well, what would be number two? And he said, well, number two would probably be the second half of that game. So, I mean, Travis just talked about how physical it was. I mean, you saw Denzel Valentine roll his ankle. You saw Kobe Wolliman get poked in the eye. He goes down. Travis Trice, he was knocked around a little bit. Matt Costello hit the floor a few times. I mean, it was a physical game. And, you know, looking at it, it's very encouraging because, you know, we've seen times, you know, not to the extent of this type of physicality that we saw last night, but we've seen teams try to be physical with Michigan State. And we've seen them get hit in the mouth and not hit back. But last night, they hit back, and you got to be encouraged that Michigan State can, one, not only play one of the top-tier teams in the Big Ten and beat them, but the fashion in which they beat them through a physical game also has to be very, very encouraging. It's encouraging to see the Spartans win a physical game because their toughness has really been in question throughout a lot of this year. Tom Izzo even talked about it. I mean, midway through this year, he talked about how, you know, I questioned the toughness of this team. I don't know how tough they are. And, you know, if you questioned it that during that time, I think that question may have been answered looking at what took place last night. And also, you know, looking at, you know, when you know, going back, because I think that was such a key moment. Brandon Dawson goes out. You know, he's the guy that everybody's been talking about. They need more energy from him. He goes out that game and you're sitting there like, oh, well, they're done. And you could kind of feel that mood as well. You could kind of feel it. When Brandon Dawson went out, you know, you saw the faces in the end zone. I mean, they were kind of like, oh, my goodness. Wow, I don't know how Michigan State is going to win this game now. And it's funny because Travis Trice, after the game, you know, I talked with him, and Travis talked about how when Brandon went out, him and Denzel Valentine met at half court, mid court. And he said, quote, this direct quote from Travis Trice, quote, dude, we're going to have to take over, end quote. So they realized just how important that moment was when Dawson went to the locker room. And they said, okay, it's time for us to take over. And throughout that game, folks, you can just kind of see in the eyes, specifically more so in Travis Trice, you started to see, I saw a look in his eyes that, okay, it's time for me to just kind of do my thing. Give me the ball. I'm going to try and will my team to a victory. And we've seen it multiple times throughout this year where Travis Trice has said, okay, we're struggling. Give me the ball. I'm going to be that guy. And, you know, to be honest with you guys, Travis Trice is a guy, I didn't know he had that in him, to be honest with you guys. Because, you know, throughout his MSU men's basketball career, he's been plagued with injuries. It's certainly been an up and down period for him, from the brain infection to him going down with, you know, the constant concussions and so on and so forth. He has had an injury plagued MSU career. This is really one of the few years in his career where he's been just completely healthy, and he has been balling out of control, folks. And he's showing that senior leadership. So for him to recognize throughout a game, I kind of question, going back to what I question if Travis Trice could be that type of a player to say, give me the ball, everybody get out the way, I'm about to do my thing here. And he did that last night. And to see Travis do it throughout, I mean, he's been Big Ten Player of the Week throughout, you know, a few times this year. Travis Trice has shown that he can be that guy to say, hey, give me the ball, everybody get out the way, I'm about to take over. And it's encouraging because Travis Trice, you saw his game reach another gear last night, and Purdue had no answer for it. And a lot of the reason they had no answer for it is because they tried to force the ball down low to A.J. Ammons, and Matt Costello was giving him the blues all game. So, you know, and, you know, Travis Trice, he had a career high tying 27 points. He shot 9 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from three-point range. Then Denzel Valentine, also a player who also stepped up his game last night. Denzel Valentine had 17 points, 6 rebounds. He shot 6 of 12 from the field. So, and now when you talk about the overall spectrum of this game, the positioning of this game, where is Michigan State currently right now? Well, one, I do think that they are going to make the NCAA tourney. I think you can pretty much seal that in the bag now. They have reached 20 wins in their career. I should say it's not their career, their season, excuse me. And you know, I think this automatically puts MSU in the NCAA tourney. 18 straight NCAA tourney appearance for Tom Izzo, if I am right. And now you look at the Big Ten race now. I mean, there's a four-way tie, folks, for third place in the Big Ten. You got Ohio State, of course, Michigan State, Iowa, and Purdue. Four-way tie for third place. Crazy. It's so jumbled up right now when you talk about the top-tier teams in the Big Ten. So I think that even becomes more important when you talk about seeding and vying for that bye in the Big Ten tourney, which, of course, is next week starting on Thursday. I mean, Michigan State right now, Wednesday, March 11th. Michigan State right now, I mean, if let's say they go on the road and they beat Indiana. Depending on what Ohio State, Iowa, and Purdue does to close out their year, I mean, Michigan State could be looking at a third place solo dolo sort of a lookout for the Big Ten tourney and the Big Ten seeding overall. So it's going to be interesting as it comes down to the wire now. I want to invite now, of course, the man behind the glass, Alex Shark, our engineer here on Current Sports. Alex, I mean, hey, I got to give you props, man. You actually caught this one because I really felt as though a big reason as to why Michigan State pulled out that game had to do with the emotion of senior night. I mean, it was certainly electric, and that crowd kind of willed the Spartans to reach another gear. I truly believe that looking at last night's game.
That's the thing, man. It's a home game at Breslin Center. I feel like because we're covering the team out sometimes, we don't really realize how powerful that student section is. A lot of times we focus a little bit more too much on the team and the game, and that's why I really felt with senior day at Breslin, kind of thought a little bit outside the box there. But hey, my biggest takeaway from that game, aside from just the resiliency by that team to come back after the first half, is how about this team, without Valentine and without Dawson, to actually step up with Forbes taking the role later in the game after Valentine went down, stepping up, keeping them in the game, because at that point, Purdue could have went on a run and really took the game into their hands. For Michigan State with Trice and Forbes and Costello to really hone that game, step up, and really show that leadership that really isn't as gifted compared to past year's team, as Tom Izzo said, I thought was great.
Yeah, you know, and you talk about guys like Forbes and Kobe Wolanman and Matt Costello. I mean, now we've seen Brent Forbes go off a few times this year, and we saw Brent Forbes not too long ago actually, you know, go near perfect in a game, you know, when it comes to shooting from the field. But I haven't seen Matt Costello play like that in quite a while. And I asked Travis Trice after the game, I said, man, I mean, have you, you know, what gotten to Matt Costello? And he laughed. He was like, yeah, that came out of nowhere, you know, because we haven't seen it in so long. And, you know, you got to give a lot of props to him because without Matt Costello playing the way he did defensively against A.J. Hammons, because that was the guy that Michigan State really had to hone in on and defend. And looking at both Isaac Haas and A.J. Hammons, I mean, 2 7-footers, to see those guys in person, I mean, my goodness, they both are NBA ready, at least body-wise. My goodness. And to see Matt Costello not back down from that challenge, I mean, my goodness. And the crowd at the Breslin Center, we have a very, very educated crowd here in the area because they recognize not just the flair of the slam dunk or the big three-pointer, but they realize when a team is playing just good overall basketball, they realize when Michigan State is bearing down defensively and impacting the game on the other end of the floor, because when Matt Costello made those stops on A.J. Hammons, when Matt Costello had those four blocks, I mean, that crowd became deafening at multiple points throughout that game. I can only imagine being an MSU men's basketball player and being on the court when the crowd is that in tune with you. It kind of, you know, it's an adrenaline rush. I mean, it's got it because I got chills up my spine a few times watching that game. And, you know, as a player, it's got to be so encouraging, though, to see Matt Costello have a game like that. But without Matt Costello, Spartans lose. He was the X factor. Can he duplicate that type of performance? I don't know. It's up in the air. How serious is the Brandon Dawson injury? It's yet to be known. We don't know if it's concussions. Actually, we know we tried to interview Brandon in the locker room after the game. And, you know, Matt Larson, the MSU men's basketball SID, said no. I mean, he's not taking any interviews because of the injury. So we don't know how serious it is. Of course, we'll probably get an update throughout this day or, you know, if not today, of course, tomorrow at practice sometime. But we will definitely keep you updated on that. Folks, what do you think about the MSU win? A gritty one to say the least. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Before we hit the first break here, Alex, I want to get to this McGarrett King story. You know, this is one of those stories and one of those examples in sports where an athlete just simply has not learned his lesson. McGarrett Kings, folks, MSU football player, McGarrett Kings, wide receiver. He was arrested in East Lansing over this past weekend. Now, Kings has been charged with drunken and disorderly conduct and obstructing, resisting, hindering, or assaulting a police officer. Now, both are misdemeanors punishable by up to 93 days in jail and $500 in fines. Now, upon, of course, McGarrett King's arrest over the weekend, he was released on a $200 bond. D'Antonio released a statement saying that they will deal with this incident internally. It's interesting because, you know, when Kings got into, you know, this isn't the first time that McGarrett Kings has had a run-in with the law. McGarrett Kings last year, if you remember, he was suspended for most of spring football because of an April 6th arrest in Delhi Township for operating a vehicle while intoxicated and driving, of course, under the influence with a blood alcohol content of 0.17 or above, which is subject to Michigan's quote-unquote super drunk laws. Now, Kings' blood alcohol content at that time registered a 0.234. Wow, that's pretty high. On his preliminary breath test, now that's nearly three times the legal limit of 0.08. You know, it's interesting, Alex, because you look at this story. I mean, you know, we've had constant discussions here on Current Sports about athletes who just simply don't get it. I feel like more so when it comes, well, maybe equally so, because we talked about Jameis Winston and his incident about, you know, jumping on the table at the student union, yelling out different obscene gestures, and we talked about Johnny Football's partying issues. Of course, Johnny Football is now in rehab as we speak to deal with those off the field hurdles. And of course, we've even had a few incidents here at Michigan State. We can go back to Derek Nixon, the marijuana troubles, and, you know, Chris Allen, and I can go on and on and on. And a few football players as well, including McGarrett Kings now. But, you know, we talk about it. The main thing for me is whether or not, because I understand, you know, especially kids in college, a lot of these athletes are going to make mistakes. But it's how you respond and carry yourself after you make that initial mistake that is going to be the true test of your character. This isn't the first time that McGarrett Kings has, of course, had a run-in with the law. Of course, I just brought up on April 6th. I mean, when he had to sit out during most of spring football. And, you know, it was being, you know, the talk around, you know, us media members. Oh, what did he do? Blah, blah, blah. Then it came out. And then McGarrett Kings, you know, his quote after that initial arrest is something I'll never forget. Because it really seemed to me like he got it. You know, I messed up. I've turned over a new leaf. And I truly understand what it is like now to truly represent the MSU football program. I have to carry myself better, point blank, period. And, you know, to read a direct quote after his arrest last year in April, he said, quote, you know, about what he's learned. He said, quote, take nothing for granted. Nothing is promised to you. As Coach Mark D'Antonio always says, it's an honor to be a Michigan State Spartan. And everywhere you go, you're carrying that around with you. They're going to say, hey, that's McGarrett Kings. He plays for Michigan State, end quote. And he's dead on right. But, Alex, that's all fine and dandy to say one thing. My mom always said it's about what you do with your actions. And his actions now, of course, getting in trouble this past weekend, allude to me that this kid hasn't learned his lesson yet, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, you see that his number was changed from 3 to 87. Was it 87?
I think it was 85. Yeah, 85. Yeah.
3 to 85 for most of the year. That was kind of, you know, Matt Garrett, you can't keep doing this. You get a demotion of your jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yeah, and then his quote, I totally agree, Al. That quote definitely seemed like he learned his lesson. And I think that, obviously, maybe he's got some personal issues going on or something must have happened that really sparked and put him over the edge for something like this. But, yeah, you can only hope that he'll learn from here. I mean, I wonder, do you think that he'll be still on the Michigan State football team coming this year?
And that's the next question that comes out of this whole thing. I mean, what exactly will Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff do to punish him? Because he has to be punished.
It's strange that they said that it will be internally rather than off the team.
I wasn't surprised by D'Antonio's quote. I mean, it was very generic. Hey, we're going to handle this. I mean, he talked about how we expect our players. It was only like three sentences. We expect our players to uphold a certain responsibility, blah, blah, blah. The cliche stuff. And I think he just needs a good old sit down with D'Antonio and the coaching staff to just kind of reiterate just how serious this is. And if he continues down his path, something is going to be done. And I could definitely see, him being here, because April, that's a month away now, less than a month away now. I think, this is kind of the ideal scenario that we saw last year around this time. You know what I mean?
I don't know about you, but I don't know the extent of this case. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is the last one was drunk driving.
Right.
This one was drunk driving.
Right. Yep.
Assault, hindering.
It said or when, the key word out of that, again, he's been charged with drunken and disorderly conduct and obstructing, resisting, hindering, or assaulting a police officer. It's or any of those. We don't know the specifics. I'm pretty sure it'll come out. I mean, FOIA request. As a journalist, they'll come out. I'm pretty sure it'll break very, very soon. But
still, you're not only committing the last crime, but you're doing another crime.
Right, exactly.
At the same time. It'd be one thing if he's driving and he tries to, speed off so he gets away. If he was scared, yeah, I can understand that because he already got in trouble once. You don't want to get in trouble again. He knows the consequences coming. So he's maybe he was scared, trying to speed away from that's just a possible scenario.
All speculation.
But if he's assaulting a police officer or hindering in any way outside of just driving recklessly, that for me, that's the drawing line.
It's just another add-on to it, huh? That makes it more serious.
That for me is off the team, has to be. But if it's
for how long? So if you're D'Antonio, if that is the case, I mean, how long do you?
Well, look,
is he done for the year?
If he gets allowed back on the team, look with Michigan, Brady Hoke had guys committing crimes left and right. They were able to stay on the team, and that for me, in my eyes, set a precedent that I have the wiggle room to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think that. Unfortunately, you have to let McGarrett Keynes go off the team. I just don't think you can
let him go completely.
Completely.
Wow, that's a big statement.
I don't think so.
I don't think they'll let him go completely.
Why?
Because I think that, again, this is the second time he's done something like this. Maybe sit him out a year. I just can't see them going to that extreme.
Isn't he a senior?
I'm not sure. Is McGarrett a senior? Let's see here. I think we have to look that up. I believe, because I think was last year his junior year.
Yeah, he's a senior, man.
I don't know if they'll let him go. I think that's a little bit extreme. At least we have to know what exactly happened before we get to, I think, going to that extreme. But I do understand you can't allow something like this to happen in your wheelhouse. Is what I'm trying to say, because we've seen other players. Again, you brought up an example at U of M. Jameis Winston, he had, four incidences when he was at Florida State. You have to lay down the hammer. How extreme that is up to Coach D. I just don't see them just letting him go
Look at Frank Clark. He had two cases of domestic assault, Al.
Yeah, but we're not talking
about
I think
but
driving
he,
drunk.
But he was let go after two cases. So what I'm saying here is, for drunk driving, it's not as severe as assault.
No, I think it is. I think it's severe because, you're talking about other lives that are on the road.
Okay,
in
that case, then he should be off the team.
I think it's very, very serious. But I think we need to know more so of exactly what happened in the whole thing for us to go to that extent to say, he should be off the team completely. I think we need to know more about the story first before we leap off that cliff. That's all I'm saying.
I see what you're saying. And I also understand that as a senior, it would be a real tough loss to get let go from the team. Your senior year of college. So, this is his last chance to make a stab for the pros at all or any life after football. So if he's released from the team, I anticipate he'll also be released from the school. I anticipate that's kind of what would happen there. That'd be a big blow for a senior.
And the thing is, how many chances do you give an individual? That's what it comes down to. Because we've seen multiple players get second chances, third chances, fourth chances sometimes. So how long is that leash? I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 95-27. Let's hit our first break of the show. When we come back, I will be joined by Chris Haller, who is a contributor to, of course, MLive.com, and also right here at Current Sports. Chris actually has a very, very well-done article on Trevor Manuel, Lansing Everett hoops. I'm so used to saying Michigan State. Lansing Everett hoop star on the hardwood. So we'll chat with Chris about the postseason right here in the Mid-Michigan area. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, folks. About it. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Well, folks, you know, March is one of my favorite times of the year, of course, because it's March Madness. I'm a big hoop junkie. I love when the NCAA tournament starts. I love going out to cover the Big Ten tournament. It's always a fun time, folks. And, of course, not only do we talk about college hoops around this time, but it's also a special time of the year for all of the various high school teams around the area on the hardwood. That's right. Well, so far, at least when it comes to the girls' basketball realm around the area, they have started the district tournament this week. The boys will be starting on Monday. I actually ran into Carlton Valentine, the father of course, Denzel Valentine, current MSU men's basketball player, and Carlton is, of course, the head coach of the Lansing Sexton Big Reds boys basketball team, and Carlton is just chomping at the bit. He cannot wait for Monday, so we chatted up a little bit. So with the girls tournament, of course, being in effect, I was actually at Okemos High School at the beginning of this week to check out the Okemos and Waverly opening game for the girls district tournament, which is a fun game. Waverly, of course, moved on to that game. Waverly actually topped Grand Ledge last night, as I mentioned at the beginning of the hour. They topped Grand Ledge to move on. DeWitt topped Lansing Eastern. Lansing Catholic topped Fowlerville. I tell you what, it's a lot of great teams within this area and a lot of teams I legitimately think can compete for a state championship. So now I want to bring a guy who's been covering this scene pretty much all season, Chris Haller. Of course, he's a contributor for MLive.com and also right here at Current Sports. He's our Current Sports beat reporter. Chris, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, Chris. So you have really been on the scene covering both boys and girls high school hoops. First off, I got to ask you because you will this Friday, I believe, be covering the Waverly and DeWitt girls basketball game. Again, Waverly topping Grand Ledge, DeWitt topping Lansing Eastern. They both have outstanding squads. I mean, what squads do you think can make a legitimate run at a state championship this year?
You know what? I really, really like Lansing Waverly. I think TJ Hawkins is a fantastic coach. I think Brianna Mobley is one of the best bigs in the girls basketball in this area right now. I think that anytime she can get the ball down on the block, she's just going to score. Nobody can really stop her. You have to double team her. And I think the X factor for Waverly is their sophomore forward, Alicia Smith. I mean, she has just been playing fantastic as of late. I was at the last game between DeWitt and Lansing-Waverly where DeWitt beat Waverly, and TJ Hawkins made a point that he really is going to challenge Alicia Smith to play well from that point on, and she has just been playing fantastic basketball.
And, you know, when you talk about Alicia Smith, because I actually got a chance to see her on Monday in that game against Okemos, and for her to be so young, first of all, she's so tall. She's like, you know, I think a little taller than Brianna Mobley, actually.
For sure.
And to see those two down low, I call them the Twin Towers. I mean, to see those two down low and going to work, I mean, how high exactly is the ceiling for a player like Alicia Smith, who's only a sophomore?
I mean, I think she can actually be a D1 player. I mean, she has excellent height. She has excellent instincts. She blocks everything that's in her sight. When I watched them versus DeWitt earlier in the season, she had 11 or 12 blocks in the game. It turned into DeWitt just hitting jump shots. So, I mean, she really does add an element to a game to take away, you know, a team attacking the lane. So I do think that she has high potential.
So, again, you'll be covering the Waverly and DeWitt game this Friday for MLive.com, of course. So you're going with Waverly, obviously, in that game if you think they can win state championship.
I'm definitely going with Waverly in that game. I think they have a little motive, you know, losing to DeWitt earlier in the season. So I think TJ Hawkins, you know, is going to have them ready to play.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Chris, I tell you what, looking at the entire spectrum of our local teams around the area, are there any other teams to look out for that could possibly grace the Breslin Center court?
Definitely. Are we talking boys and girls, I can talk talk about?
Let's go with, yeah, if you want to go boys or girls, yeah.
Oh, let's go boys. I really, I mean, and I know you just talked to him the other day, but I love the way Coach Steve Finnemore has East Lansing playing. I think they've won 9 out of their last 10 games or
exactly.
something like that.
Yep.
They're a very young team, and I think it just shows a lot on the coaching staff how they were able to turn their season around. Mikel Miles is pretty much the only senior on the team, mm-hmm. the only senior that plays a lot. And Stephen Amore told me, I watched them play Tuesday, actually, and they beat Lansing Catholic, who tied with Williamson for their division.
Right, the CAAC White, right.
And East Lansing really took Matthew Fata and Tony Poljan, who are the stars of Lansing Catholic, out of the game. East Lansing can shoot the ball. They can defend. They're always pushing in transition. I mean, I'm just really impressed with them, and I think they're a dangerous team. They're going into the playoffs at the best time, and they're hot.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I want to bring up, because I was actually, you and I were at the game last week. Was it last week or was it 2 weeks ago?
It was about, yeah, last week.
Yeah,
I think.
Last week, Grand Ledge taking on Steve Finnemore's team mm-hmm. in East Lansing. And, you know, it was so crazy because Grand Ledge, they were just coming off that loss to Trevor Manuel over at Lansing Everett, their only loss of the year. And then they play Steve Finnemore's team and they lose back-to-back games. When you talk about this Grand Ledge team, I think that they're a very good team, just hitting a rough patch in their season. Really the only time all year that they dealt with a lot of adversity. How do you rebound from something like that if you're Scott Lewis?
If you know, the one thing I noticed was, and I've talked to Scott Lewis throughout the season, and I've seen him in practice, and he really said that his team is very confident in that mindset. And the one thing that I really notice is their team captain is a junior, Josh Horford.
Right.
So I think just really they just have to get that mindset correct. I watched them play last Friday against Holt, and still they just didn't seem right. They ended up pulling out the win. It's just their mindset. I think if they can get that mindset right, they're going to bounce back. I mean, and the other thing is they just got to start hitting shots. That's been their biggest thing against East Lansing. I think they were 2 for 22 from 3-point line.
Right.
So I just think, you know, they are a veteran team. They've been together for a while. Scott Lewis just has to get that in their minds, and you know they'll bounce back for sure.
Chris Haller, high school, beat reporter for MLive.com. He's also a contributor right here for Current Sports. Now, Chris, on that same token now, I mean, East Lansing is such a young team. They're actually the youngest team in the CAAC Blue Conference. I mean, how in the world is a team that young able to put together a stretch of games the way they have been right now?
Brandon Johns, a freshman sensation. Mm-hmm. I think during the stretch, he's been putting up Mr. Basketball candidate numbers. I mean, for a while there, he was averaging over, like, I think a 7-game stretch, like 22 points and like 13 rebounds. I mean, he's a big-time blocker, too. I think he's the name. I mean, Izzo has actually been scouting him already. They've had Michigan State scouting, I think, 5 games of his already.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that he's been huge for them. I think Weston Miles, who is a sophomore, that's Mikkel's younger brother,
right,
has really stepped up. He's filled a scoring role, and I think they've all really just bought into Finnemore's system. I mean,
yeah.
Finnemore
yeah.
is definitely a demanding coach. I mean, he's the loudest person in the gym no matter what. And I really think, yeah, they're really just buying in. They're all going down on the defensive end, and they're sharing the basketball.
Yeah, so. They certainly are. And they're buying, like you said, I think that's the key word. They're buying into Steve Finnemore's system, which is all about playing the game the right way. All right, Chris, before we hit our second break here, I want to bring up your article that you did. It's actually live right now on WKAR.org. Just go to the radio tab, click Current Sports, and it'll pop right up. You did a great feature and profile on Trevor Manuel, who is a star basketball player for Lansing Everett, the Lansing Everett Vikings. He's been tearing it up all year. And you talk about being a candidate for Mr. Basketball. I mean, he certainly is one of those. He's a transfer from Oak Hill. He's right back here in the Lansing area to finish up his senior season, an Oregon commit. I mean, what was it like sitting down and talking with Desmond Ferguson, his head coach, and also Trevor about this year? And what makes him such a special player, Chris?
Well, first with Desmond Ferguson, I mean, Desmond's kind of a low-key, quiet guy, but I do think that this season here means a lot to him. I mean, he's from the Lansing area. He went to Everett. He knows what it's about, and he takes this job very seriously. He brought on an all-star coaching staff of all Everett alumni. So to turn the season around after winning, you know, several games over 4 years, I think this is very special for him. Trevor Manuel has been huge in that, but I really do think that Everett in general has really grown. I mean, there was a game against Grand Ledge where Trevor Manuel fouled out in the middle of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had guys like Jamyron Jackson and LeAndre Wright step up. So they're really growing as a team. But Trevor Manuel has put them over the top. I mean, the guy is special. He can score anywhere from the floor. You know, he's big in transition. He blocks everything in his, you know, in the area. He grabs rebounds. And sitting down with him, he's very, you know, you're talking about a guy who has Mr. Basketball accolades. He's an Oregon signee. He was recruited by Michigan, recruited by Michigan State. And he's just very, very humble. The one thing, anytime I'd bring up, you know, him, he wanted to talk about the team. He started talking about other players on the team. So he's very low-key. He's very much about this team in the moment.
Right. And, you know, we've had, of course, Trevor and his dad, James, on here on Current Sports Radio and Current Sports TV. But you actually got to really poke the bear about his experience in Oak Hill. I mean, what was his experience like, and what was the big factor of him returning back here to Lansing?
His big thing with Oak Hill was, you know, after he was a freshman and sophomore at Sexton, Carlton Valentine decided to retire for a year so he could watch Denzel play.
Right.
So we had Trevor decided to go to Oak Hill. He said he was offered by Oak Hill to come there, and he said it was something he couldn't refuse. You're talking about a school that's a powerhouse, as Jerry Stackhouse, you know, Kevin Durant, guys like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He went down there, and I believe that pretty much what he said was he thought that he was going to get a lot of time, and you know, he was going to be really getting some tough competition down there. Mm-hmm. But the fact was, you know, with 9 Division I athletes on the team, how much are you really going to play? You know, so he didn't have a lot of playing time, but he really stressed how much he did learn from the situation, going against those guys in practice and then playing, you know, against Division I kind of players through 45 games. So his main reason, though, for coming back, he said it was nothing against Oak Hill. He said he would have stayed, but, you know, he did, I think, get a little homesick. He missed, you know, his dad. Him and his father are very, very close.
Very close. Yeah,
his father went to Everett. So his decision on coming back was basically the fact that he wanted a chance to play in front of his friends and family and stuff like that. So he came back, and yeah, that's what he's doing.
And I think he also does he have a cousin on the team as well?
Yeah,
I think he does.
Yeah, his cousin's another one of the big guys. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but
I am too. Yeah.
I mean, he does have some connections there at Everett. And one of the other things a lot of people asked, and this has been something that's gone on a lot, is, you know, why not Sexton? Why not go back to Sexton? You know, Valentine's back and everything. But he told me that he would have had to sit out for half the season, so it was really a no-brainer. Plus, he said he had tons of respect for Coach Ferguson. You know, you're talking about a guy who, you know, was in the NBA for a time period and played professional basketball.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that he made the right decision.
All right. Well, yeah, he definitely did, because he is certainly tearing it up. And, yeah, he is a high candidate for Michigan's Mr. Basketball. All right. Again, folks, Chris Haller, contributor to MLive.com, also Current Sports beat reporter. You can catch Chris's profile on Trevor Manuel right now by simply going to WKAR.org. And really quick, before we get off the air here, Chris, and hear our second break, Chris, who is your NBA MVP? I'm like taking a week-long poll here.
NBA MVP?
NBA MVP, right now.
I think it's hard not to go with James Harden.
There you go. All right, well, I think, Alex, the only person who hasn't gone with James Harden has been Darian Harris. He's still sticking to his guns with Steph Curry.
But I told him, the thing with Steph Curry is, in big games, James Harden always plays better.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's like in those clutch moments. And you know, James Harden has taken lemons and made lemonade out of the situation out in Houston. Because, you know, without having Dwight Howard and not really having another go-to weapon, it's been unbelievable what James Harden's been able to do. All right, folks, let's hit our second break of the show. When we come back, it's Thursday. And each and every Thursday, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Don't go anywhere. Throwback Thursday is coming right at you. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up a conversation with Chris Haller of MLive.com. He's also a Current Sports beat reporter right here. Again, you can catch his profile on Trevor Manuel right now on WKAR.org, as Trevor Manuel is, of course, quickly becoming a top candidate for Michigan's Mr. Basketball. And tell you what, man, this Everett team certainly has a shot at winning a state championship as well. Man, it's an exciting time of the year. March Madness, folks, you got to love it. Really quickly, before I dive into the Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Le'Veon Bell, of course, he is the running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tell you what, folks, he does not like ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. Le'Veon actually, did you see this, Alex? He went on a Twitter rant yesterday And he kind of just cut into Mel Kiper. In a long rant from his verified Twitter account, Bell snapped on Kiper. I just read a little bit of what Le'Veon had to say. He said, quote, "I think it's so funny how Mel Kiper is just, quote unquote, qualified to talk about the draft. Do be wrong with just about everything, though." And he goes on to say, "Of course, anybody can say anything about a can't-miss prospect like Clowney or Peyton Manning or something like that. But who was wrong about Ray Lewis? He definitely was wrong about me. He has his favorites, and it's just crazy that people listen to that dude." And he goes on to say, him and his buddy, he takes some shots at Todd McShay here, folks. Him and his buddy, Todd McShay, no way they watch legitimate film on all the prospects and can understand the way to compare and contrast. They both just have their favorites and roll with their favorites all year straight up. Then he goes on to say, just go to ESPN.com and look at what they said about my skills, transitioning to the next level. All the things he said I struggled with, I'm excelling in. But of course, he didn't know that because he didn't watch no legitimate film on me. But to all the draft prospects out there, don't even worry about what they say on TV because NFL coaches watch film, and I mean legitimate film. Oh, Alex, that just hurt me, man. That shot's fired right there, dude. Le'Veon wasn't happy.
It's understandable because, yeah. You know, they're on social media now. They're seeing these things. They're seeing these analysts. But that's kind of a shot at everybody, man. I mean, that's what people want to talk about. Can you blame them? It's just
and the draft's right around the corner. And, you know, some people do look. I mean, especially as a football player like Le'Veon, he's a guy who's always had a chip on his shoulder. I mean, that's kind of like the mantra here at Michigan State. All athletes have chip on their shoulders when they're Spartans. And for Le'Veon to come into the NFL, no one, even us in East Lansing, no one predicted that Le'Veon was going to blow up and be the phenomenon on the gridiron that he has become in Pittsburgh. And for, you know, and you know, to see, I guess he felt some type of way when he turned on TV and saw Mel Kiper giving this draft analysis, and he felt as though, you know, he needs to go on this rant and give encouragement to those NFL prospects out there that may be getting doubted by the quote-unquote experts. I thought it was a very interesting take. But, yeah, Le'Veon just kind of just went off, folks. You can catch that just simply by a simple Google, and you'll get to see all the tweets from Le'Veon's official Twitter page. All right. Well, it's Thursday. And each and every Thursday, we love to have a lot of fun here on Current Sports by hopping in our Current Sports time machine and taking a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. We love to dub it our, I guess you could say, our Throwback Thursday segment here on Current Sports. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Good.
Oh, boy, does that not just send chills up your spine? Oh, man, that's so many historic moments in sports history, folks. So many, so many, so many, so many. Well, it's time for Throwback Thursday, folks, where we hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at what exactly happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. Well, let's start this party off in 1993. Longtime Washington Redskins head coach Joe Gibbs announced his retirement. How about that? All right, 1993 as well. Sprinter Ben Johnson was banned for life after flunking a second drug test. Man, not one, but two drug tests. Man, talk about, you know, getting in trouble twice, you know, with the old McGarrett Kings discussion. But yeah, Ben Johnson, second drug test failed. 1993. All right, 1994. Washington's Michael Adams became the third player in NBA history to connect on 900 career three-point field goals. Wow, that's very impressive. All right, let's fast forward now let's go to 2003. Lakers' Kobe Bryant, he became the youngest player to reach 10,000 points for his career at 24 years old, 193 days. Man, Bob McAdoo accomplished the feat at 25 years old, 148 days. Kobe Bryant, man, I'm going to miss Kobe Bryant when he officially retires from the NBA. He actually has a new documentary called Kobe Bryant, The Muse, coming out, which documents, you get to see another side of Kobe, a more personable side of Kobe Bryant. All right, well, let's move along to my favorite athlete, 2006. Tiger Woods, He bogeyed his final two holes, but it did not matter as he won the Ford Championship at Doral by a stroke over David Toms and Camilo Villegas. How about that, man? Those were the glory days of Tiger Woods, man. Now he can't even win a major. All right, it's been like, what, since 2008 is the last time he won a major? Come on, Ty. Get it together, Tiger. All right, let's fast forward now. It's 2009. The Dallas Cowboys, they released. Yeah, get your popcorn ready. Right receiver Terrell Owens. How about that? Terrell certainly bounced around in the NFL trying to find his niche in the league. Terrell Owens, don't get me wrong. I think he had his best days when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles and as well with the San Francisco 49ers. But now I think Terrell Davis is kind of like, what's he doing, like Dancing with the Stars? Now he's doing a lot of reality TV now. He actually had a reality TV show, I remember, on, I believe that was VH1. So he's still finding ways to stay relevant, folks. But again, 2009, the Dallas Cowboys releasing wide receiver, loudmouth Terrell Owens. All right, fast forward now to 2010, the Carolina Panthers released quarterback Jake Delhomme. In 2012, the Houston Texans re-signed running back Arian Foster to a five-year contract. In 2013, former Buffalo Bills defensive end Sean Merriman announced his retirement from the game. We also have a few birthdays here for this March 5th. Lefty Grove, he was born in 1900. How about that? Lefty Grove, of course, a Hall of Fame pitcher in the major leagues. Also, Ron Gant. He was born in 1965, a Major League Baseball player. And also, Michael Irvin. Yeah, the great Michael Irvin, wide receiver for the famed Cowboys. He was born in 1966 on this day. So happy birthday, folks. Again, that is our Throwback Thursday segment where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. If I happen to miss something, hey, you know you can go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave me a comment there or simply tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, really quickly here, with only 2 minutes left in the show, I want to bring up the Detroit Pistons. I want to shout out the Detroit Pistons right now because they are on a tough stretch right now. Right now, they are 3 games out of the 8th place in the Eastern Conference, trying to fight for that playoff spot. They are behind Indy, Brooklyn, and Boston right now, and they have certainly hit a rough patch in their year. And right now they have the Houston Rockets coming up on Friday and the Charlotte Hornets, which they will play on Sunday. Tough game for them as they got beat by Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans last night. Caron Butler, he was held scoreless in 17 minutes. And really the small forward position has been a thing of just a lot of question marks for this team upon releasing Kyle Singler in that trade deadline move to acquire Reggie Jackson. 19 turnovers for the Pistons, 2 of 14 from three-point land. That can't happen, folks. And then Anthony Davis was just insane. 39 points, 13 rebounds, 8 block shots. My goodness, I had to read that. I had to double take on that one. He's just unbelievable. Unbelievable player. But the Red Wings, hey, how about them, folks? Getting a big win against the Rangers. Well, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports. I want to give a big thanks to Chris Haller of MLive.com, also a contributor to Current Sports right here. Hey, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. And be easy, people.